Welcome to Willow Creek Fellowship in Plano, Texas. Here now is our senior pastor, Roy Frady.
There are at least two dimensions of being a mother. First, there is the giving of birth to a child. And second, there is the ongoing process of caring and nurturing that child. The mother is absolutely exhausted after giving birth. I know because Sandra had natural childbirth and I was there. Ooh. And it seems like only a moment has passed and someone hands the child to the mother and says he or she needs to be fed. Whatever happened to delegation? I know in my wife's case that there was no delegation. She had to look after the children, all three of them. She singularly coped with feeding the baby, changing the baby, rocking the baby, doing everything for the baby. Baby learned to talk because of their mother. I expected mine to all have English accents. They learned to walk. They learned so much from their mother because a mother's second dimension of nurturing and caring comes before. But the completed work of her giving birth is painful, but there is the continuing work of the mother in caring for the child. Sometimes I believe that in our culture that caring is never over. It never ends. That's the reason we say a woman's work is never done, because after giving the pain of birth, she has the continuous sleepless nights. You know, I know Sandra suffered for years from sleep deprivation because we had the children in such a sequence that she just didn't get a good night's sleep. The child would wake up in the middle of the night. I would wake up too, and I would do that to Sandra and say, the baby's awake. A mother's love always carries forward. Well, that's the kind of thing that we expect of Jesus. To complete the act and then to continue the work. To give us the second birth and to continue to nurture and guide and protect us. You know, the book of Hebrews was written to a group of people who were exhausted. Probably some of them had almost decided that being a Christian was more than they had bargained for. If you think about it, these people had been hunted down, they had been stoned, they had been imprisoned, they had their houses raided and their business raided by the people of the time, and many others simply lived in fear. The book of Hebrews is written to bring encouragement into the lives of those who faced hard knocks in their lives. Many of us have. And so the book of Hebrews is written for you and for me. Let us go before the Lord in prayer. Dear Holy Heavenly Father, I come before you very humbly this morning. I ask that you would cast my words out. For everything I have written, everything I have done to prepare for this message is but the work of a man. Those things that I have heard from you, those things that are true, I ask that you impress upon the hearts of the people who are listening today over television and internet and are here in this room. I pray that you would speak to us in words that we can understand, in words that transform us from who we are and point us toward Jesus. For he is the master of our souls. Father, may everything we say, may everything we do, bring honor and glory to you. For it's in your precious name we pray. Amen. You know, the book of Hebrews in chapter 7 begins to tell us the things that Jesus did and what he's doing today and what he's going to do in the future. I would like you to turn with me to Hebrews chapter 7. And I'll be reading verse 23 through 27. Also, there were many priests because they were prevented by death from continuing. But he, because he continues forever, has an unchanging priesthood. Therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. For such a high priest was fitting for us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and has become higher than the heavens, who does not need daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins and then for the people. For this he did once for all when he offered up himself. It says in verse 23, that we should acknowledge that we've had many high priests in our lives. They've held the position. But they died, and therefore they were unable to continue their work. They died so they could not continue in their office. There were many high priests because each one was replaced when death prevented them from carrying on. It was a tough job. Elton, who's not here this morning, but I'm going to use his name in vain here. Elton, who is our youth minister, is fond of saying, "You knew it was a tough job when you took it," referring to being a Christian. And yet many come to Christ thinking that everything will be wonderful. There'll be no struggle left. That once they turn it all over to Christ, that he, and he alone, will be the one who does the suffering. That simply is not true. It's a tough job. The high priest had a tough job. He was part counselor. He was part butcher. He was part the man who was representing God on earth. He was part administrator because he had the temple to look after. He had many different duties. He had a tough job. First thing that a high priest did when someone came to him was to hear their confession. And so a part of him heard what someone else had done that had failed. That is, in the history. That is what history is. History is a retelling of things people did in the past so that we can learn from them in the future. And so he would hear person after person after person come to him and confess that they had sinned. And then he was to take an offering for that sin. He was to kill that goat. Let's suppose that you brought a goat with you. He had to kill it. That meant that he had to be strong enough to wrestle that goat down because the goat would fight for his life. He had to kill the goat. He had to do a kosher thing. He had to bleed the goat out so that there would be no blood left in the offering. And then he had to remove all the fat. And then he would burn the offering. and pray that God would receive the substitute that was laid there on the altar for the sin that the priest had heard. The role of the high priest is illustrated in the design of the tabernacle. The tabernacle was the center part of the building, the temple. It was where the priest operated. It had a table. And on the table there was some bread. There was a lamp. But there was no chair. There was no place for the priest to sit down. There wasn't a place. He just didn't have a place to rest, because his work was truly never done. He could delegate to other priests, and we are told in the time of Jesus there were over 1,000 priests who functioned in the temple from time to time, one division or another, and that he would delegate to them the role of taking care of the 2 million or so sins that were confessed at Passover, and that the blood of the animals would run down into a trough, and that that blood would go all the way through the city. It was a tough job. He knew it was a tough job. But the Bible says that through Jesus, God did an amazing thing. God gave us a priest who lasts forever, who lives forever. No one will take away his robes and assume his office. He is our high priest. High priest was someone who had to first, before he could look after the sins of others, he had to look after his own sins. He had to offer up to God sacrifice for his own sins and then for the sins of the people. But Jesus Christ is our high priest. He offered up himself. He is the Lamb of God. He offered up himself to take all the sins of the people. Jesus alone has died for your sins. And he has come through the gates of hell. He's burst them wide open. He's busted them so that you would never have to suffer as he suffered. Jesus did that out of love. We sang a song a moment ago that Jesus came to earth and clothed himself in frail humanity. We sang that song. I hope you understood the words. Because Jesus came to dwell among us. And while God dwelt among his people when they were traveling in tents, tents were made of sticks and skins tightly woven together. And now Jesus comes to dwell in human flesh with bones and flesh around. After his death, after his resurrection and ascension, Jesus, our high priest, sits down at the right hand of the Father. He sits down. He can rest because he has taken all of our sins to the cross with him. He's taken everything you've ever done and ever will do to the cross and suffered for it. He paid the price so we don't have to. That is the first work. That is excruciating pain. That is giving us the second birth. And that is what Jesus did for us. Imagine, if you will, that you have a backpack and it's filled with rocks. And when it's first filled with rocks and they symbolize sins, you walk around with it and, you know, you kind of grow accustomed to it. You grow accustomed to the sins that you have on your back. But there comes a time when the weight on your back is so great that you cannot hold it any longer. And you go to the high priest and you say to the high priest, I can't handle this any longer. Can you handle it for me? Will you take this goat, my substitute, my scapegoat? Will you take this goat and kill it and remove part of the sins that are on my back? And the priest looks inside there and takes out a big rock. And you don't have it anymore. You feel a certain relief. You've still got some rocks, but you can kind of deal with them. I've heard many of you say, well, I can deal with a little bit of this pain. I can deal with this. No. Jesus wants you instead to take all the backpack and give it to Him. He says, cast all of your cares on me. He wants you to get rid of all of the rocks that are on your back. He wants you to be free of all the sins that weigh you down. Jesus Christ is going to take all of those sins in His first act of love to the cross with Him. All of your sins are paid for. It says in the Scriptures that all are paid for once and for all. You'll never need another scapegoat. You'll never need another high priest, only Jesus. You'll never need to come to someone else because Jesus has already paid it all. I catch many of us, and myself, trying to do things that we can't do to please God. God gives us the power to do what pleases Him. If you find that you're getting burned out or you're to the point where you can't do it any longer, it's because you have not submitted to the love of God. Jesus is at the right hand of the Father. He has all the authority in heaven and earth. He has all the resources in heaven and earth. He can pour out what you need. He knows your circumstances. He knows what is on your back today. He knows everything that's in your mind today. He knows everything that's in your heart. He knows where you are. I know that it is common practice in our culture to believe that God is vaguely aware, or we can sometimes hide from God. No, you can never hide from God. Adam tried to hide from God. You have to come out of hiding because He knows already every fault you've ever had. He already knows every sin you've ever committed. You have to confess to Him so that He can carry that to the cross for you. That's how He becomes our Savior. You'll never need to do any more works except the work He gives you, because He's already completed the work. He said from the cross, it is finished. That portion of what we look to Jesus for is finished. The excruciating, painful death He lay Himself down for. You and me on the cross. Verse 25 talks about the continuing work of Christ. The continuing work. First, that work can be called representation. He represents us to the Father. Have you ever thought about that? What it means to be a paraclete, what it means to be your advocate, what it means to be have someone on your side when you stand before the judgment seat of God? I have. I pray you have too, because only then can you know what it means to have Him standing beside you all the time. He prays for us. He intercedes for us. He is always with us. Even when we're in the darkest hole, He's with us. I am frightened when I think about where I took Him in my sin, because He never left me. From the time I received Him in my heart as a young boy, He never, ever left me. I left him. I tried to hide from him. I tried my very best to get as far away from him and to much into the flesh as I could. But he never left me. He never forsaked. He was always with me. He always speaks to the Father for us. He cares for us. He nurtures us. Even when I'm talking to other people, He gives me the words to say. Every Sunday I stand up here and I ask God to speak. Every single Sunday, I go home, I listen to what I've said because I haven't the notion of what I said. I try to allow God to speak. And every time He calls you into a situation, whether it's as a chaplain, as I have been for 16 years, or whether it's as a pastor or whatever, as a Christian believer, when He calls you and gives you a divine appointment, He will give you the words. He promises to do that. Trust. Only trust. He provides the power to do all things. All things. He said, greater works I do than these that you have seen, that you have witnessed, because I go to be with the Father. I have the power. And I'm going to give it to you. He says, whatever you bind on earth, whatever you loose on earth, will be bound or loosed in heaven. He's giving you authority. You have authority in His name, in Jesus' name. You know, that's something that we're probably not aware of. We're not aware of the power that resides within us, because we're not aware of God in us. Too often we get cranky, we get this or that and the other, we get out of sorts. We're forgetting the God that is within us. The God who wants only the best for people, who wants only to encourage His people, who wants only to bless His people, who wants only to heal His people. He wants you to have the fullness of life. But we hide from Him. He speaks with the authority that comes to Him by God the Father. And He has all the resources of God the Father. Think about that for a moment. He has all the cattle on 1,000 hills because His Father does. He has all the cattle. So when you have a financial need in your life, He can send it immediately. I've had Him do that in my life. Perhaps you've had Him do it in yours. When you have sorrow in your life, He sends a specialist. He sends the Holy Spirit to bring you comfort. He doesn't do it in the terms of a man. He does it in Himself. He Himself comes to you. His Holy Spirit comes to you and comforts you in the times of trial. He'll never give you more than you're able to bear. He knows what you're able to bear. He's praying right now. What's He praying for you? Is He praying that your faith will not fail like He failed with Peter? He prayed that with Peter. Is He praying that for you? Praying that for me, I hope. That my faith shall not fail. Is He praying because you're under the stress of cancer or heart disease or some affliction? You've had some disease from the world that has come against you? God created the world. Jesus has all the healing in His hands. He alone is Jehovah Rapha. He can heal you. He can pour out Himself upon you at any time. Is He praying that right now for you? What is He praying? Is He releasing the resources of heaven so that you will have them now? Do you need his resources? The Bible says that we have only to ask, and we have not, for we ask not. Or we ask not aright. What is that? Ask not aright. I believe that ask not aright is not asking in Jesus' name. He told us, whatever you ask in my name, I will do. He is the high priest who loves you, who cares for you. He's constantly nurturing and protecting you. He's providing for you. Jesus is our high priest. We have to ask for things in His name. Merely ask. Think about that a minute. What you're asking for, you're asking with faith in Jesus that what He said is true, that whatever you ask in His name, He will do. But He is also speaking to the Father on your behalf. Isn't that what the priesthood of the believer is? Asking God on behalf of someone else? Petitioning God that someone else will be healed? And you don't know how that works. I don't know how that works. It's a mystery. That happens in another dimension. A dimension that I cannot see. That's what Paul was trying to say when he said, today we see but darkly. I can't see it. But it's there. And when Christ says that anything you ask in my name, I will do, I believe him. This last week I prayed for Tommy. Tommy was supposed to go to the doctor on Thursday. I checked on you. Various ways I have of checking on people. By the way, I check on all of them. But it wasn't until today I found out that the nurses looked at Tommy when he got there and said, oh, what are you doing here? You're not supposed to be here. Doctor's not here. Doctor's called away on something important. We're going to reschedule you for sometime next month. I think that was an answered prayer because we've been praying for Tommy. He's praying for you. Constantly doing that. And when you call out in His name, you're crying out to Jesus to petition to the Father for everything you have need of. You don't have to worry about how you say it. You don't have to worry about saying da-da, 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 or anything else. Because Jesus is your translator. I have grandchildren. A little grandchild will say to me something and I won't understand what they're saying. But do you know something? Their mother always understands them. Their mother translates for me what the child said. Jesus translates whatever language we speak in. Jesus translates our heart's desire to the Father. He says, these are some that you gave me. Now, these are their needs. Didn't he tell us that your Father already knew your needs? That he was dressing the lilies of the field? How much more so would he dress you and love you, care for you? You're crying out through Jesus Christ, God's only Son. He is our high priest. His continuing work sustains us. It prepares us for going home with Him. He gives you every good and perfect thing you have. He loves you and only asks that you love Him back in return. He will always be there to guide and support you, to protect and provide for you. He will always be there. But will you always be there for Him? Soul-searching question for today is, will I love Jesus as He first loved me? All He wants is your love. He wants you to be obedient out of love. He wants you to be subservient out of love. He wants you to do all the things that we've talked about for many, many months and years out of love. He wants you to love Him as He first loved us. Because He first loved us. Are you willing to do that today? Are you willing to present yourself before the high priest? Are you willing to come to Him and lay down your backpack in front of Him and say, would you please carry these to the cross for me? I can't carry them myself. Will you ask Him to be your Savior, your Lord? Will you come to Him rededicating your life? Will you rededicate your life? Will you say to Jesus, there are things in my life that I have done that I know prevent me from feeling your warm presence around me. I don't want to live like that any longer. I know you've saved me. Will you be my Lord? There are some people that perhaps have something on their back. They have been carrying it around for a long time. Maybe you thought the doctor could cure you, or something in a bottle could cure you, or whatever could cure you. Nothing has. Will you come and lay that before His altar today? Will you come today and give yourself to Jesus as He gave Himself for us?
We pray the Holy Spirit has enlightened you today. Pastor Frady's sermons are on the internet at willowcreekfellowship.org. Join us live in person each Sunday at 1804 Avenue P at 19th Street in Plano, Texas. Or join us live on the internet each Sunday at 1105 a.m. Central Time at willowcreekfellowship.org. God bless you.